National Council of Jewish Women. Let's see if it takes. Say that.
Go ahead.
I neglected to really say at the beginning that there had been this nucleus of Jewish families, and what they had. They were not affiliated, except at Road of Sholem, or perhaps Beth Sholem, and they would drive across the bridge at that time. There were no Fort Pitt tunnels, you understand. There were the Liberty tunnels. But they had formed what was called the Bowling Club. And there were people there. There were Alice and Lou Leventon. Lou Leventon had a dress shop in Dormont. Gladys and Lou Hershenson, he had a drugstore in Dormont. Charlotte and Pete Cooper, in whose home they built and you are sitting now, he was an attorney in town. Lil and High Freeman, she became the top real estate woman in the Mount Lebanon area. The Steins, Ruth and, what was his first name? Anyway, he was the one who built the original Ark that we carted around in a station wagon every Friday night. So there was a group, also the Copelmans. Lucille and High Copelman lived here, and they were part of this older group. I say older group because to us they were older, because they had been here since 1938, 1940 maybe. And their children were older, but they had gone to religious school in the other side of the river. So, of course, they were very happy to have a congregation. Their children, that original group, ended up being religious school teachers in our temple, ended up being teachers in the school. In fact, the one Hershenson girl was the first Jewish teacher hired by the Mount Lebanon Public Schools. Then, as I said, gradually other families moved out too, but that was the original nucleus. And there are people who can tell you about that time far better than I could.
Can I ask you a few questions, going back a little? You mentioned when you did go to University of Pitt, and you did take writing, journalism, and so forth. Who did you work for, in other words, when you first graduated?
They did not work here at all because I was married in 1943 and worked in Washington, D.C. for the National Housing Agency. And then when we moved back here, I did not work at all because I was raising children. So I didn't go back to work until Ellis died. And that's when I went to work for the Jewish Chronicle.
But you were also
professionally.
Were you not involved with the Jewish Federation?
No, not really.
Never?
Not professionally.
No.
Nope.
Now, what about Hadassah? I know that you were very, very involved in Hadassah.
I was very active in the Mount Lebanon group and ended up being their president. Then moved on to the chapter level in the city and ended up being president of the whole chapter. And that was
Was that? About what year?
1972.
Okay.
I was president for 3 years, and that was at the height of the organization growth in Pittsburgh. I also became very involved with Israel Bonds and sat on their board for quite some time. I also am a member of the ZOA board as a board member. Became very active with the American Jewish Committee, and I was just made a life trustee of the American Jewish Committee a year ago. And then went back to the university in the role of a member of the Women's International Club.
Interesting.
Because we were, at that time, still working on the possibility of building an Israel Heritage Room at the university. It's part of the nationality rooms at the university. And I ended up being president of the Women's International Club at the university, which is made up of women members from all the nationality rooms. And I think the highlight of my association with the University of Pittsburgh was reached last November when we dedicated the Israel Heritage Room at the University of Pittsburgh.
I haven't seen it, but you must see it.
It is the most striking, striking nationality room in that cathedral.
When was it dedicated again?
November the 1st, 1987.
A year ago.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, that sounds fabulous.
Was it dedicated then or was it dedicated in my time in Utah? But anyway, it's there.
It's about a year.
Yeah.
A year ago.
And I am still active with that committee. I'm vice chairman. Marcella Feingold is chairman of the committee. And Jerry Rosenberg, Dr. Rosenberg, and I share the vice chairmanships.
That's wonderful.
And it was quite an endeavor. We worked very hard at it for many years, and it's a thing to behold. It's a beauty.
I haven't seen it, but I have to.
Must.
Tell me about your children.
My children.
What do they do? Where are they?
They're all scattered. I have one son who still lives here in Pittsburgh, and a daughter-in-law. They are separated. They're divorced. And one grandchild from that union. My next one in line, Jane, is in Baltimore, Maryland, with two children. Her husband is a geneticist at Johns Hopkins University, and she'd gotten her MBA and is now with Shepherd Pratt, which is a private hospital in Baltimore. She runs their clinical practices. The next one is Robert. He is in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is in the hotel management with the DoubleTree. The next one is a daughter, Carol, who's also in Phoenix. She has one son, married to a graphic artist who has his own advertising agency in Phoenix. And my youngest daughter, Abby, is in Mesa, Arizona, with two daughters. And her husband is in the printing business, and she has her own career. She's a regional manager of Sizzler's Steakhouses. And I have two stepdaughters, because Phil had two daughters when we were married. When we were married, we had 1/10 of the confirmation class at Temple Emmanuel, 3 16-year-olds.
Oh, great.
And Debbie is in Phoenix, and she is married. Her husband's in the watchmaking business. And then our other daughter, Barbara, is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she is an LPN, not married. So there's all 7 of them. And 6 grandchildren.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they're all lined up over there, except the baby.
That's wonderful.
So that's why we spend 4 to 5 months a year in Arizona.
I can imagine.
We leave in December and return in April.
Oh, sure.
After all, that's where the family is and where the grandchildren are. And then my granddaughter, Emily, who is named for my mother, who lives here in Pittsburgh, comes out and visits us every year, too.
Tell me, were your children involved like you were with Jewish activities?
Not really. They all belonged to the youth group, which was formed at Temple Emmanuel. But they went their own ways. They went away to school, and they just never became imbued with the community involvement. They are not married to Jewish spouses, but they are raising their children as Jewish. The little one who lives here went to Temple Emmanuel Nursery School and still goes to Temple Emmanuel Religious School, so she's a third generation in the temple, from which her father was confirmed and her grandfather was president. The others are affiliated in the Arizona area, Phoenix area.
It sounds as though you had a very, very interesting life.
Well, it was. I think the best thing about it was that I was lucky enough to have what we considered a wonderful second marriage.
I was going to ask you, and I will, about your husband. Is he very involved with
Phil?
The community?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've tagged him. He comes along to everything. And, of course, when I was president of Hadassah, he had to be right there with me all the time. I had made my first trip to Israel in 1966. And then his first trip was with me when we went back in 1970, 71. And we've been to Israel about five times, I think, now, four or five times. He became most interested when I did in the cause of Soviet Jewry. And we went to Russia and we visited Refusniks just 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in October that we took our trip to Russia, which was a was an exhilarating experience. It was disturbing, but it was a trip that I would not have missed for the world.
Tell me about it, a little bit about it.
Well, we went with, there were six of us that went. And we went our own ways after we got to Moscow because we each had different Refusnik families to visit. But we managed to do some sightseeing. The visit with the families was heartbreaking, but it was also very heartening. We still keep in touch with them, and two of the families that we visited have since received their visas.
Oh, that's wonderful.
One is in Israel and one is in San Francisco, and we keep in touch with her, the one in San Francisco. So he has always been very supportive in my community work, prefers to stay in the background, pays all the bills, makes all the contributions.
What group did you go over with, a particular
We
United
went
Jewish?
Under the auspices of the National Conference on Soviet Jewry. And the trip was arranged for us through the United Jewish Federation. I have been a member of the Pittsburgh Conference of Soviet Jewry for a number of years through the committees at the Federation, through Community Relations Committee, which I sat on, and the Conference of Soviet Jewry, which I sat on, and also the Urban Foundation, which I sat on. So we have, I guess that was really our main thrust of togetherness in community interest has been the situation with the Soviet Jews.
That's wonderful, though. What would you say, just your own view, would be your most, oh, I don't know, not important, but, well,
possibly important accomplishment that you have made throughout all your Jewish activities? What do you feel?
What do I feel? I feel that I have been a part of many facets of the Pittsburgh Jewish community in various organizations, but I suppose my main contribution, I feel, would have been the work of Hadassah and the establishment of the Israel Heritage Room at the University of Pittsburgh.
That I have to see.
Those two, I think, are things that I'm most proud of, really.
Is there anything that you think you could have done differently than you did? Is there anything in particular?
In what way? You mean the organization?
Organization.
Way?
Uh-huh. Or anything you would have liked to do that you didn't do?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Hadassah become, Pittsburgh Hadassah, become part of the Big Ten chapters, which we had worked for so long, to have a seat on the national board, which we still don't have.
I'm surprised.
Because we only have like 4,800 members. And you have to have a 5,000 minimum membership to sit on.
Aw, that close?
That close. But I was afforded the privilege of going to the national board meetings in New York because we were so close.
Aww.
But without a voting privilege. But the association of these women on the national board was a great boost to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And we left with a feeling of having made our mark on National Hadassah. But as I say, that's kind of a nebulous accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But for an actual reality, the years of work and problems with the Nationality Room at Pitt. This is the actual result, the tangible
that
you can
see.
The others are intangibles.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with Council of Jewish Women?
With Council? As soon as I left my Hadassah presidency, Rachel Porter was president of Council.
How far back? About.
And she got hold of me and said, you must come on to the council board. I said, I must. So I did. So that was in 1975, I guess. Yeah.
Oh.
But the other thing that is not with the Jewish community, but another accomplishment that I'm very proud of has been my association with KDKA Radio Call for Action.
Oh. I didn't know that.
And I have been with them for 15 years.
Oh, that's interesting.
And we are a consumer advocacy group of volunteers. And once a week we give a day at the station and answer all the phones and try to solve all the problems that the people call in about, whether they be anything to do with social problems or health problems, or consumer problems. And it's, I am the head of their speakers bureau. I speak to many, many groups and organizations. And also, since we had traveled to Russia, I've been all over the tri-state area, even as far as State College, speaking on our Russian trip, because we have slides and we talk to those other communities to try to get them interested in being supportive of the refuseniks now, writing letters, keeping in touch with them. I like to give them the names of the children so that the religious school children can write to them. And we even spoke in North Carolina.
That's wonderful.
We have also spoken to a lot of Christian organizations, churches, and it's very interesting to get their reaction. on our viewpoint of the Soviet Union and our reactions to how we were treated there and the families that we met. They seem to be very interested in that, too.
Do you have many people that go with you? Not necessarily with you, but are there very many people that speak to the different organizations?
When we go, we're the only speakers. A lot of them have spoken to their own congregations and to their own groups, I'm sure. The ones who have the interest in spreading the story. But we have a whole story. We are the program. They know that we have been to Russia, and they know that they would like to have us speak. I've spoken to Hadassah groups, to bond functions, to church groups, to a lot of temples.
What are the results? Are they good?
Oh, very good, yeah, sure. When we were in Arizona, I spoke to three congregations. One in Phoenix, one in Mesa, and one in Scottsdale. They invited us to speak to be a Friday night program. And they are not as provincial as you might think that they are, because they all adopted a family, they all conducted letter-writing campaigns.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To the families there to know that we know what their problems are and that they are supportive of that.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Are you involved in a twinning?
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. We always suggest that, too. And it's interesting that the one congregation that we spoke to in North Carolina, it was in Durham, because our nephew is at the University of North Carolina Medical Hospital there, and he had told his rabbi that his aunt and uncle had just returned from Russia, so we planned a weekend trip down there and spoke to them. And they had just completed their plans for a twinning bat mitzvah between this little congregation in Durham, North Carolina, and a young girl in Leningrad.
Yes. Do these people still write to you?
Continues. Yep. They send us pictures. And
do you think you'll go back?
I don't know. I think it's for a younger person. It's a very hard trip. Physically, it's a hard trip. And the minute you get into that Moscow airport, you know that you're in a police state. You can make your own arrangements if you can get away from the in-tourist guide, you know. Because we had to talk to them and make arrangements to visit them without jeopardizing their security, too. And it was quick, it was fast. We saw six families in Moscow, we saw six families in Leningrad. And each one, of course, has their own story, each one is different. When we do our talk and show our slides, it runs for over an hour, so I couldn't possibly get into the details for here. But suffice to say that when we were on the train and left Leningrad and arrived in Finland, was it Finland? Yeah, wherever. We were very happy to be across the border. Very happy.
I can imagine.
But I would not have given it up for anything. I guess if we did go back, we'd go under different circumstances because you learn by experience. We had no altercations whatsoever. We had wonderful meetings, you know, at the big synagogue in Moscow when we, on the Shabbat, that's their social afternoon after the services. And that's where the Jewish community gets together and meets out on the street. But it was quite an experience.
Oh, I can imagine it, would be. Just tell me, what would you say about Pittsburgh? many years ago, socially, politically, so forth, and today? I mean, you've been so involved with so many different
right.
organizations.
Well, number one, I was not involved before the Second World War. I lived in Squirrel Hill,
mm-hmm.
and our whole life was wrapped up in that Squirrel Hill enclave.
Mm-hmm.
Forbes and Murray, Taylor Alderdice, Road of Sholem. Moving out here until the temple was formed was like night and day, really. Then once the temple was formed and after the organizations were formed, it seeing that the people did not want to travel into the city to go to meetings. They preferred to be right here. And then when I became involved in the city organizations, to me it is nothing to get in my car and in 20 minutes I am through the tunnels
mm-hmm.
and into Squirrel Hill on the parkway. But somehow, for someone to come from Oakland or Squirrel Hill to Mount Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
they almost have to pack a box lunch and get a road map. And it's unbelievable. What is so easy one way is so difficult the other way.
I have found that out many times.
And I don't understand it, really.
I know. It's very interesting, though. You really, really have led us.
When we go to so many of the city functions with the American Jewish Committee, with ZOA, with Israel Bonds in particular, too, if we go to these large meetings, dinner meetings or anything else, you can count on one hand the people from Mount Lebanon that attend. And they're always the same, always the same. I don't know what it is that the Mount Lebanon Jewish community feels insulated.
Mm-hmm.
And they prefer their activities to be here. And we have found that in Hadassah groups, they have their own meetings, they have their own interests, and they very seldom come into the city for a general meeting. The American Jewish Committee, we have many Mount Lebanon members of it. But they'll come into a dinner once a year.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not interested in board meetings. They want to stay right here and be in their own area of interest. I would say that I've never felt that way. I felt it was a very broadening experience to be a part of the greater Pittsburgh Jewish community, not just the South Hills Jewish community.
Margie, tell me, are there any awards that you received that you could tell us about?
Oh, yes. They're all up on my wall in the den. So when we're through with this, you can come in there and look at them.
All right.
People walk into this house, and so many of them have said, when I walk in here, I can see it's a Jewish house.
Well, that's good. That's
all
great.
Of my artwork, we are collectors, is of Judaic background. And people know that we're Jewish.
I think that's
they
wonderful.
Know when my neighbors come in. Last week, I had a party here. Not a party. I'm active with the Democratic Committee, too.
Oh.
And the Democratic National Committee had this project going from your house to the White House, asking certain people to have meetings
mm-hmm.
the night that Michael Dukakis was making his acceptance
mm-hmm.
speech. And they sent all of the balloons and the decorations and this, everything had to have a party.
Well, you're supposed to have your neighbors and friends, you know. And I made a point of having neighbors and friends, not Jewish. And they were exposed not only to my heritage with everything that we have in the house, but they were exposed to each other. As you know, because Mount Lebanon is supposed to be so predominantly Republican, it's like in the old days, we didn't know another Jew if we saw them. They don't know another Democrat if they saw them. But after a while, they warmed up and they were very happy to be here. But there was, I have never hidden my Judaism or my background. And I've always been very proud of my heritage, and I express it in our collections.
That's wonderful. Well, you are interested in the Democratic convention, so forth.
Oh, of course.
So then you are involved in that.
Yes.
And maybe we can come and talk about that a little bit.
Okay.